And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and heard, as it were, the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Glad you could join me today. We're in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. I've read down through the first four verses to kind of bring you up to speed. We are in the process of watching here as John records the opening of the seals. You will find, and I'll give you this for your edification for the future, kind of give you a sense of what's coming. You will find there are seven seals. We were introduced to that concept back in chapter 5. Seven seals on this scroll. As each of the seals are opened in sequence, the scroll unrolls a little further, and it reveals something to come. The first seal, we have the white horse. The second seal is open, we have a red horse. And it will continue. Now, from that seventh seal, when it is opened, there comes a second series of judgments. These will be symbolized by seven trumpets. And as these judgments begin to unfold, they are signified by the sounding or by the blowing by the angels who carry these seven trumpets. At the conclusion of these trumpet judgments, there will be one final series of seven, the vial judgments, V-I-A-L. More properly, perhaps, from the Greek, should be translated great vessel. But the last seven vessels of God's wrath are poured out on those that dwell on the earth. Three distinct series of seven events arranged in an order. Seven judgments, seven things that come about in judgment on those who dwell on the earth. Now, as we continue here, just to review, we saw the white horse, and him that sat on the white horse has got a crown. He was given a crown. Notice it doesn't say by whom. It doesn't say where he got that crown from, but he was given a crown. And you will find that he's given a bow, and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. Who is he? Well, I believe we could go so far as to say this is in all likelihood representative of the Antichrist. Not the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus, when he is identified with a weapon, is always a sword, never a bow. The second one that comes forth, he that sits on the red horse, I think we could name him War. Now, I'm not going to jump up on a stump and say, this is exactly the way you must believe it, but for the sake of continuity, for the sake of keeping a handle on things, we'll name them. This is War. You'll notice he takes peace from the earth, and as a consequence, that they should kill. He removes the peace for the intent that they, who? The people, the population of the earth, should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now this sword that is given to the rider of the red horse, to War, in the Greek, I'll not give you the name because it wouldn't mean anything to you, but in describing this sword, it's a great curved sword for slashing. Very much the same idea as when you look at a cavalry saber, a long blade. It's not for fencing. It's not for dueling in the normal sense of a Hollywood duel. It is made that it's heavy enough, it's sharp enough, and it's curved. It lends itself to a cavalry attack, a slashing attack. and war is so armed. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature, the third beast, say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Let's name him Famine. We have a leader who looses war, and war is followed by famine. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, let's look at this. Balances in the hand. In marketplaces, in biblical times, that's the way it was done. You had a scale, you wanted so much, you had so much money, everything worked out in a transaction. Now famine sits on this black horse with the balances in his hand, and it says a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. Now you say, what is that all about? Keep in mind, a day laborer in biblical times would work for a day for a penny. That was his wage, a penny. Now, you will note, please, a measure of wheat for a penny. For a day's wage, you get a measure of wheat. For a day's wage, you could buy three measures of barley. You say, so? Well, if you contrast and compare wheat with barley, you will find wheat is much more nutritional. Barley will fill your belly, but there's not as much nutrition in it. But the operative term here is measure. That's in volume. That is as much wheat as it would take for one good meal, whether it be a loaf of bread or however you wanted to work it out. But one good meal, let's just strip it down like this. You work all day and you'd have enough to buy one really good meal, or three meals that would fill your belly but not be nearly as nutritious for you. Be the same difference as being, we'll put it in today's light maybe, it'd be the same difference as working all day and having enough money to go ahead and buy one good meal at someplace like the Outback maybe, or steakhouse of some kind, or enough to buy three meals, say, at some fast food restaurant. Now, work all day. Oh, so what's the significance? People are working to stay alive. They work to eat. It's not a matter of paying the mortgage. It's no longer a matter of buying cars and houses and motorcycles or ATVs or a new entertainment center. No, they're just working to stay alive. They're working to eat. Now he says, And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, this oil is not a petroleum-based product. This is olive oil. You say, well, I thought it meant, you know, over there in the Middle East. Don't go there. You're looking for something you're not going to find. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine are the purview of the rich people. Poor man just couldn't afford to have the oil. Now, the oil was necessary for cooking. It was used in cooking. It was also used for anointing, the idea of anointing the skin. Or they didn't have oil of olay, okay? But they would use olive oil as a way to keep the skin protected in a dry and arid environment like you would find in the Middle East. The oil would keep your skin from drying out. Now, the common man is out there working day in and day out trying to stay alive. He doesn't have enough money to go ahead and buy something protective like that. This is a luxury. The wine, same thing. Basically, what you've got is this. The common man is working to feed himself, trying to stay alive, and the rich are unaffected. You've heard the old expression, the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. That's the kind of a situation that comes about as a result of the opening of these first three seals. Now we come to the fourth, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now it says pale, but the Greek word is the same word for gangrene. I saw a dead horse living. I saw a gangrenous horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Now you'll notice we made up names for the first three, but the fourth horseman is named Death, and you'll notice he's got a rider with him, and Hell followed with him. They're riding tandem. Two riders. It's interesting. You've heard the expression, oh, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're not four horsemen of the apocalypse. There are five. Interesting, isn't it, how people just assume things. Four horses, yes, but there are five riders. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now, before we go any further, question, and this is a matter of interpretation. A fourth part of the earth, we are talking here either about one half of a hemisphere, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, eastern, western, but a quarter of that. A quarter of the earth, whether that is now is in terms to be taken in terms of a total of a quarter of the total earth's geography, landmass and water, or whether we're talking about a fourth part of the population of the earth. And quite frankly, I believe from what we see here, we are talking about a fourth part of the population of the earth. Watch. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, you've got things that make sense here. Warfare, famine, yeah, that's going to happen. They're going to die. Yeah, but notice this other little ingredient, this other little inclusion in the equation, the beasts of the earth. Now, I live out in the country, and in the part of the world where I live, there's not nearly as much farming as there used to be a generation ago, and as a result, many of the old farms have fallen into disuse. What used to be pasture land is now scrub brush, and even young forest growth coming on. And as a result, there's an increase in what would normally be referred to as prey animals. Rabbits, squirrels, mice, deer. But wherever you have an excess or plenty of prey animals, you will also find an increase in predators. And in southeastern Ohio, we're seeing an increase in coyotes, if you like. More and more sightings of black bear. And occasionally, you'll hear people talking about cougars. Of course, they're usually laughed into silence, but there are enough sightings that you have to give a certain credence to it. The beasts of the earth are going to be a part in the death of 25% of the earth's population. My time is gone, and we're not done with this. We'll come back to it on the next broadcast. Join me then.